Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for a living.
Turn to your neighbor, tell them, aren't you glad you're in the house of God and not where you could have been? There's some folks in here right now, if it had not been for the Lord on your side, where, oh, where would you be? My God. Hallelujah. Well, I want to talk to you tonight. Very familiar passage of Scripture. I plan on getting done tonight. I think we're going to be early. I just don't understand. People don't have no faith in me. Joe, you with me, ain't you, Joe? You with me? In the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 18. We're going to verse 1. Going to go verses 1 through 4, I believe. Just got a little something the Lord dropped in my spirit this morning. You know, I'm sure you've had those days, not exactly like this, because unless you're a pastor. But I had so much on my plate to do today, other than getting a message. Now, I know some of y'all are judging me right now. It's okay. I'm all right. I'm used to it, man. I just had other things I had to get done today. So my plan was, I told my wife, I said, now listen, we got to get this done, we got to get that done, we got to get this done, we got to get that done. So I'm going to go over to the office, I'm going to get my message done, and then I'll be ready to go finish up the other things that we got to get done. So I come over, and I was going to put together a little cute message. So I started working on cute, and God just started messing me up. And I was like, all right, this is how it's going to be. So I didn't finish till 3:30. Yeah, so needless to say, I didn't get nothing. Well, I did get one out of the literally six things I needed to get done. But how many knows I got done the main thing? Amen. This is the main thing. So Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there there I will cause you to hear my words. I'm going to speak to you at the potter's house. Then Jeremiah said, I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Father, I pray that you give us inspiration and revelation for motivation that causes transformation. In the name of Jesus, I bind every power of hell that would come against us, me, tonight in this service, in this message, that we will receive the word of God and we will be changed. Not because I'm the messenger, but because of the one who sent it. In Jesus' name, and the church said, amen. Amen. I want to preach to you on the subject this evening. I am still in his hands. I am still in his hands. There was a guy that wrote a song. It's been years since I've tried to play it. But the author of the song, we've had him here a couple of times, his name is Jaron Davis. He said, I would rather be in the hands of an angry God than not in his hands at all. I mean, that's powerful. That I trust the hands of an angry God
more than I trust the hands of anybody else. There's a song that he penned that I'm going to try to sing for just a moment. It goes, I got to get the tune.
You're in his hands. So we have Jeremiah apparently needing the Lord to speak to him. And I don't know whether you realize it or not, but all of us need the Lord to speak to us and to give us direction, because without it, we're on our own. And so here we have Jeremiah needing God to speak to him. And the first point is simply, God, please speak to me. Now, I just wrote down probably 98% of everybody sitting in here's prayer request. Lord, please speak to me. Because it's one thing to pray about your situation, but everything would change if you knew that God spoke to you direction, or God spoke to you instruction, right? There, I don't believe that there's a person in here that if you knew without a shadow of a doubt that God spoke to you, that you wouldn't try to accomplish whatever he spoke. All right? Now, I could go the preacher's way and say, let me have whole thing. Just give me the whole thing. I could say the preacher's way that he has spoke to us. And he has. But how many knows that it does, if you read this Bible, and you should, it don't always tell you which job offer to take. It doesn't tell you what to do about a rebellious spouse. Or a rebellious child, or what to do with folks talking about you. And not specifically, it does tell you what to do, but it doesn't say, listen, when Sister Caps talks about you, you know you're in trouble. She said, I'm not going to do that. That's why I said you're in trouble when she does it, or if she does it. But we say, God, please speak to me. And all of us wants God to speak to us. And the Bible said in verses 1 and 2 that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. I'm going to send you somewhere so you can hear my words. And the story we just read, you don't hear God speaking to him, but he spoke to him through where he was told to go and what he saw. Jeremiah comes to a point in his life where he confesses, God, I don't know what to do. And when you really need to hear God speak, you would be surprised where you can hear his voice. Oh, y'all didn't hear me. You would be surprised where you can hear the voice of God. You can hear his voice in a song. Can you believe you can hear his voice at church? You know, how many times, now maybe not you, but I can't, countless times have I had people come up to me and go, Pastor, do you have a listening device in my living room? Because we were just talking about this very thing. How many times, Pastor, you read my mail? Now, I've had a bunch of times that they just don't come tell me, and I don't want you to start. Many times, I'm sure people have left go, well, that wasn't for me a bit. I have to tell you what, we need a good preacher, I'm telling you. So don't tell me that, I don't want to hear it. But I do know that God will use things, people, songs, situations to speak to you. When I was on that long trip, you know, I saw, I made a comment on an old bridge that was seemingly old and out of use, but it still had significance. It still had beauty. And the Lord just spoke that to me as I was looking at the beauty of that bridge. God will speak to you in surprisingly places. God said to Jeremiah, I want you to go down to a common, ordinary place and just be quiet and you will hear me. Now that's a problem. The problem is we don't know how to just be quiet and still and hear the Lord. Why? Because we've got too many distractions. That we're more concerned about how popular we are on Facebook and Twitter and how many followers we have rather than trying to follow the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're trying to be significant on social media. How do you know? Because we try to. Our church, that is a strategy that we use. We want people to see us. We want people to know that we're here. There's a lot of people in Citrus County that don't even know Crystal River Church of God is here. I don't know why, because it's the greatest church in the county. But anyway, not because of the preacher, but because of its people. And it's the great church. However, they don't know we're here, so that's a strategy. However, what we need to understand is individually, especially and as a church, we need to hear the voice of God and follow Him more than we need people following us. Because I will lead you astray sometimes, but my Heavenly Father will never lead you astray. Oh, glory. So he sent him to a place to be quiet. One of the hardest things to do in our overstimulated world is to be still and quiet before the Lord. We've lost the art of being still and quiet before God. Because you know what happens when we get still and quiet now? We go to sleep. Let me help some of you. Are you ready? How many's ever tried to go, I'm just going to go and hear the voice of God? Lord, I just love you, God. I just love you. I just worship you. I give you. Oh, Jesus, just speak to me, oh God. Right? All right, I'm going to set some of you free. Been there, done that, and still do it. Amen. Because we're so overstimulated that if we get still and quiet, we sleep. You know, I'll never forget it. This changed my life. Because, my first church, For part of the ministry, I worked a full-time job and tried to pastor for a little while until we could get the church growed a little bit where I wouldn't have to. And so I did that, and I would work 12-hour days, 5 days, 6 days a week, and still pastor and preach and try to do all the things that I did. And so I was always exhausted. And I would go and try to get a message from the Lord to preach. And I would just lay back in my recliner and try to, you know, they didn't have laptops back then with my iPad. Yeah, it was called a legal pad. That's what my iPad was, a legal pad. And I'd start writing stuff down and I'd just lay it back and just, and the next thing I know, I'd wake up like 20, 30 minutes later. Oh, and I would feel so bad. Lord Jesus, I am so sorry. God, Lord. You know, and then I was reading the book, Can You Not Tarry 1 Hour? No, apparently I can. And so I would read this. And so, but here's where the condemnation came on me. Because when I woke up, I'd write out a message, man. Like boom, 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 boom. I was like, God, that ain't right. I know that ain't right. And then I heard this mega church pastor get up, and one day I was reading an article that he wrote, and he said, sometimes God's got to get you to sleep just so he can talk to you and get all the distractions away from you. And then he said, sometimes I go in my study and I pray and I fall asleep praying, but I wake up with the word. I said, God, from a magazine, the Lord spoke to me and set me free from condemnation that I had put on myself just from a magazine article. And I was like, thank you, Jesus. So now every time I go to get a message, I just go to sleep. No. No, but that's the way some people would read it. You know what I'm saying? But I'm telling you that God wants to speak to you to get you out from under condemnation, to get you free. But doesn't mean that's the way you do it all the time. God speaks in many different ways. God spoke to me when I first took the church to pastor. He spoke to me when I went down to Deer Point Lake and prayed most of the night. Well, the other major decisions I've made in my life, I didn't have to go back to Deer Point Lake, but I had to do something out of the ordinary in order to hear the voice of God, or either God would speak to me right in the middle of my routine. Well, Pastor, that's so confusing. No, I'm trying to get you to understand that God can speak to you right in the middle of your routine. He sent Jeremiah down to hear the voice and the word of God in a routine situation of watching a potter. Jeremiah found a normal routine day at the potter's house is what he found. The potter went out among the roots, the rocks, the branches, the bugs, the ants, and found some clay. He picked it up with all of its impurities. Y'all missed a good opportunity right there. He picked it up with all of its impurities. He picked it up. Get me a towel out of my office, please. He picked it up with all the impurities. He picked it up with all of the branches, the stuff that was attached to it. Thank God that you don't have to be all that when God picked you up. Ah, I'm glad that God wasn't afraid of what he saw when he saw me. I'm glad that God wasn't afraid of my mess and gave me a message in the middle of my mess. I'm glad that God has given me victory in the storm. I'm glad that God gave me a testimony in the middle of my mess. I'm glad that when God looked at me, he didn't look away because I was so distraught, that I was so bad that I could not be used. But he said, no, I can take the worst of clay and put it on my wheel, and I can make something great out of it if they will become pliable in my hands. Thank God that he picked me up with all of my impurities. Well, glory. He picked me up with all the junk that was connected to me, all the junk, and still sees something in me that many times others didn't see. He sees something in you. Secondly, second point, he makes something great out of seemingly nothing. He makes something great out of seemingly nothing. He looks at where you are, where you've been. He's not afraid. Listen, I don't mean to get ugly. I just want you to know that God ain't afraid of the crack house. God ain't afraid of the whorehouse. God ain't afraid of the juke joint. God ain't afraid of your dysfunctional family. God ain't afraid of your crazy attitude. God ain't afraid of your crazy aunt, your aunt, your crazy uncle. He ain't afraid of nothing you got, because he's seen it all before, and he's delivered somebody out of it somewhere at one point in time already. And if God can do it for them, he can surely do it for you. He sees something great and makes something out of nothing. Our text says, and then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something on the wheel. He watches the potter inside. He watches the potter take the clay and takes it inside and puts it on the wheel. Now, whether you realize it or not, you and I are still on the wheel. You haven't become so great that you don't need to be back on the wheel from time to time. That we've got to get on the wheel. I could talk to you. I don't have time to talk to you about how God, or how potters in that day and time would fix broken pots. Oh, let me just hit it one time. Can I? You got to hear. Because here's what he would do. He would take the dust. He would go out and take dirt or dust. And then he would mash it up with a bug that he found on bulls and goats called a fasuka bug. He would mash it, and the blood, because it would suck the blood from the bulls and the animals, and he would take that blood with the dust and make a cement with it and put it on the cracks of that vessel. Now, that might not mean anything to you, but I start thinking about that you and I were made from the dust of the earth. I begin to think about that God still takes the blood of Jesus and mixes it with the dust of the earth, and something great comes out of it. God still uses you. He still uses me to help fix people. My God. So thank God that I'm not out in the cold. Thank God that I'm still on the wheel. I'm not out in the elements by myself. I am on the will of God, and he is molding me into something that is useful in the kingdom of God. But we have two issues here. We have two issues. The two issues is forming and filling. You have the potter forming something in order that he can fill it. Ooh, I already know where I'm going. That's what God did at creation. The Bible said in one verse in Genesis that God created man. But a few verses down a few more verses, it says that God formed man. All right? It's one thing to create. It's another thing to form. And man is a spirit. And my brother talked about this Sunday, that man is a spirit who has a soul that lives in a body, right? But God created his spirit, the man's spirit. He formed a body for it to dwell in and breathed in the breath of God and gave him a living soul. God only formed the body of man because he had something to fill it with. And as God forms you and makes you, I want you to know that he's getting ready to fill you with something that only comes from him. Hallelujah. Rest assured, whenever you see God forming someone, he is going to fill that vessel. So I say, God, here I am. Form me. Here I am, God. Keep working on me. Here I am, God. Feel me. I don't want to get off the wheel until I'm ready to be filled. You look at some people. Listen, I'm the pastor. I know stuff about people. Right? People feel the need and the security. And don't get nervous. I ain't going to tell none of your stuff. That's confidentiality. I'm just telling you, I know stuff that some of y'all don't know. And I get to see, my God. Look, I know this about them, but God is forming them. And look what God is doing. And if they only knew where they came from, instead of asking them to sit down, they'd be shouting with them because the God formed them and now is filling them. So, when Jeremiah got down to the potter's house, he saw the potter pick the clay up. He picked up the clay. That's enough for me. Just pick me up, God. My God, that's enough. If you don't ever do nothing else for me, God, you've done enough. Just pick me up. Just pick me up, God. Just as long as I'm in your hands. I'd rather be in your hands than any other man's hands. Come on, somebody. I would rather be in his hands rather than anybody else's hands. That's enough all by itself. I'm just happy to be picked up. I'm just happy that he picked me up. Now, God, if you want to use me, that's a bonus. But I'm just happy that you picked me up. And he put the clay on the wheel. Are you ready? When you are on the wheel, everything begins spinning. Everything is just spinning when you're on the wheel of the potter. And you feel like that you're not going to make it through this process. You feel like that you're about to get slung off of this wheel. However, in the midst of the spinning, look up under the table and see whose foot is on the wheel and controlling the speed. It is the potter. It is God himself. You may feel like you're out of control, but I want you to know that God has his foot on the wheel. He has his foot on the spindle, and he controls how much you speak. My God, I'm preaching better than you're amening. Hey, well, I'm going to tell you right now, I was about right here this morning. I said, God, I need to say this for Sunday. Good Lord Jesus. God is monitoring the spinning. And ever so often, when he sees the pot or the clay is slumping, come here, boy. I don't mean to call you a boy. Y'all know you're 25. I'm sorry. I used to hate that when my daddy did that to me. I'm saying, 20 years old, he still called me a boy. But when he sees the pot of the clay slump, it's God, the potter, every so often just reaches out and touches it. He just reaches out and touches it, secures it, and makes sure it brings it back. Every time you slump, he just reaches out and touches you and brings you back up. I mean, listen, I know there's some of you right now feel like you in a slumping time. I want you to know God's about to reach out and touch you. God's reaching out right now. He's reaching out right now to touch you and to raise you back up. That's what God does. That's what the potter does. He just reaches out and touches the clay with his hands. And sometimes you just have to have a touch. Sometimes you just got to have a touch to make it through the process, to make it through the journey. My God, I don't know if I can make it. And all of a sudden you get a touch. I'm about to throw in the towel, then you get a touch. I'm about to give up, you get a touch. How many needs the Lord to touch you this morning or this evening? Come on, just lift up your hand. Lord, you look around, God. I know you already know, but here we are saying, I need a touch. If the potter, he reaches out in the nick of time, wets the clay and straightens out the bad spots. If the potter did not wet the clay, it would become too cold and too rigid and couldn't change. Whew. You ever seen some Christians like that? Don't point at them. that they've been serving God so long, they've been on the wheel so long, they ain't had nothing wet in them in so long. They ain't had nothing sprinkled on them in so long. They ain't been touched in so long. They're just cold, rigid, without the ability to change. But my God, when God begins to sprinkle His word upon you, sprinkle His spirit upon you, you become pliable in His hands again. And I say, never grow cold. Never get rigid. Always have the blessing of God. Always be reaching out unto Him. Because He's reaching out to you. Woo! Hey! Point three. You are being made. You are being made in the vessel that the potter made of clay. Was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make. And the vessel that he made. Y'all pardon me a moment. Watch. Hey! So the vessel that he had made. Jeremiah said it wasn't a vessel yet. And the vessel that he had made. Now I take issue here. Because it really isn't a vessel yet. But God says some things that if anybody else said them, they would be confusing. But sometimes God calls you in advance what He knows you will be. He calls you not to where you are, but calls you to where He's called you to. Sometimes He doesn't call you or talk to you where you are. He talks to your potential. Because He knows your potential. He called it a vessel when it wasn't a vessel yet. See, the vessel was marred. Oh my God, my God, my God. The vessel was marred in the hand of the potter. It wasn't that he was out of the hands of the potter. He was in the hands of the potter, but he was marred. Oh, are you getting this? Jeremiah observes all he had seen. Suddenly, there's an unexpected dilemma that arises. Notice it says the vessel was marred in the hands of the potter. Now, we got to deal with the reality that we can be saved and in church and still be marred. He was in the hands of the potter, but marred in the hands of the potter. You can be in church and still be marred. I just don't understand. You know, listen. Don't run out there right now. But I started telling people. You know, when we start having this weird warfare, you come to church, you better lock your car. You think everybody that comes to church is saved? You think everybody that comes to church is not marred? Amen? You got to understand, if I'm a thief, I'm going to hit the church parking lot. I just sometimes think I think too much like a thief, Blaine. I think too much like a hoodlum. I'm just being real. Everybody's in church. Let me check this car out. I walk in and see if y'all shouting first. Some of you got bladder control issues. I wouldn't mess with your car. Got to go to the bathroom 5 times in a 1 hour service. The problem was not in the hand, but in the clay. Did you hear that? The problem wasn't in the hand, it was in the clay. There was a flaw in the material. It was supposed to be a vessel, but now it would not hold what it was intended to be. Well, that's me, Pastor. I know I was destined for greatness, but I messed up. Well, that brings me to point four, which is, here is the question. Do I throw the clay away and abandon all of this work that I've put into the clay? The first part of this story, the first part of the little story here, is about him picking you up out of the world. This part is about people who are already saved, but who need to be healed. What do I do with the broken vessel? The Bible says, and he made it again into another vessel. Which simply means this. My assignment has changed, but I'm still on the king's table. My assignment has changed, but I'm still on the king's table. He was making me into a cup, but I wouldn't conform. I had issues, so now I've got to be a bowl. He was making me into a bowl, but I wouldn't conform, so therefore I'm going to have to be a plate. He was making me into a plate, but now I'm going to have to be a spoon. I'm going to have to do something different, but I'm still a utensil in the hand of the potter. I may not be what I was going to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. Come on, give him praise. Come on, give him praise. I may not be what I was going to be, but thank God I am not what I used to be. Hey! Now I'm going to sing an old song. Or I'm going to try to sing an old song. I don't understand. Every time I need Jane, she's gone. On vacation. I want you to stand to your feet.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.